Thank God I didn't go Thailand.
Can I pass this hot potato to Sky? Sky, take it away.
Hey, but I went to Thailand, okay, so I'm very sure my data is there. I damn bengang, okay.
Yeah, I think Thailand moved really fast this year, but I guess they are stuck with the situation of having their past catching up with them. Because if you notice, Thailand actually started their PDPA Act in May this year, 2021. And they probably know that they have a lot of history that are catching up. But I guess this came as a surprise to many.
To the Security Lab podcast.
Technically, I wouldn't say this is a breach. I mean, if you read through the incident, it seems to me that someone misconfigured a server and left it open. So let me share a little bit about what this case is about. So they have this database where it records all of the visitors who came to Thailand. So the data includes their full name, gender, passport number, arrival date, visa type, and resident status. So what happened was it's placed in a server. The database contained data from 2011 until August 20. So I put there August 20 because that was when this data was indexed by Census. Census is an organization similar to Shodan. What they do is they crawl the internet, whatever they find, they archive it. So if you want to search about that particular information, whatever that's running in that server, what page, what certificate, and technical details. If you want to search for some technical details, you can go to Census. So the URL is census.io. On the 20th, the site that had all this data was indexed, which means that now someone using Census can actually search all this information. On 22nd of August this year, it was discovered by a researcher from Computech. On 23rd of August, the Thai authorities secured the database. So it seems to me more like a case of an admin that may have just put the wrong configuration, didn't realize that it showed all the data outside. Maybe remove a basic authentication username password, which caused the whole thing to be available outside. They've secured it, so the data's not there. The good news is Thai NCSA, the National Cybersecurity Agency, they confirmed the event. So I like this. I like how they're saying, yeah, it's true. We have an incident. We've checked and confirmed that there's no attempts to sell the data. Yet. See, the data can be sold at the time when you take it, or it can be sold next month, next year, whenever. So there's no timeline to selling data unless someone feels that they want to sell fresh data so they can make more money, then yes.
Yeah, old data are cheaper.
Yes, fresh data is much more expensive. Yeah. Stale data or older data is cheaper. But it really depends on what you can do with it. To be honest, visa information, I don't know. I really don't know if you could do anything with it. You can probably try to do some scam. Hey, I know you went to Pattaya last week. Yeah, so big deal. You know?
Mm.
You didn't go with your wife though. Now that's a problem. Okay, so I'm just putting some context into, you know, data and context. But you see, that's the thing. It's a different story if it was actual passports. I know for a fact that actual passport fetches much, much more fiat or currency or money compared to all this data. This is data nice to have, but to be honest, I don't know, Sky. What do you think? Can you do something with this data?
Of course. I mean, if I have your email addresses, I have your passport, and they probably also ask for your contact number. And some of us will give our very own contact number because we are on business and we want to be able to be connected. Those who are traveling because of holidays, they may buy a SIM there and then use the Thai number. But many of us would have maintained our own numbers when we are there. So a lot of these data are usable. Actually, you're right. It is they call it a cyber security. What's that word? Negligence. It's not a breach. It was a cybersecurity negligence that causes it. So that definitely these data are usable. You can basically craft out. That's why when I was sharing some of the sessions, I actually shared with my audience about the fact that the hackers are diverting their attention very much to what we call data owners. Because by having enough data, they could craft out what they want to do. They could be searching for information relating to a target. We don't know. All right. And maybe the target could be someone that has very high value and they needed what we call the 6 degrees of separation. Who are the 6 people that are connected to this guy, which can lead me to this high value target? So these are things that people see in the movies, and we pass it on like as if it's just another movie. But these are really, really true events that can lead to kidnapping, that can lead to assassination, which we don't know. We don't know what the attacker's main objective were. Finance is one thing, but could be a target for a high value target. We don't know. But definitely the data that has been leaked is usable for sure, because it tells you about the person that they are targeting. It tells you the way, the travel frequency. It tells you the movements. It tells you the way you, if any of the password were to be leaked, it also tells you how this person crafts his password. And once you know the concept of how a password is generated by an individual, it is quite easily what we call brute force, because we would have key in some ways of cracking the password, and you would have reduced the difficulty by easily 50 to 60%.
Reading about these things always makes me go speechless. Regardless of whether it's an organization or it's a breach, or it's due to negligence in this case. But one thing we do know for sure is that it will bring very painful long-term consequences. And at this point in time, I don't have an answer as to what we could do. We can debate, go on again and again, long between technologies, data gathering technologies, encryption, role of tags, and whether we need it. We are in an era of digital transformation. So what is a leak in this stage? Again, it is something that it's bound to happen, and there's nothing we could do about it. But can't there be can't certain organizations, countries, and so forth put something in place, come up with something other than just owning up and say, yes, we've made a mistake, and then that's it? But to us citizens, it's something we need to live on with. And it can come back to haunt us like a bad nightmare. You can leave curfews and a lot of things, movement controls, orders, we can leave. But data leakage or breach or whatever we name, we call it, it cannot be undone. Once it's out there, it's out there. Even to the day when I die, I think somebody may still be able to use it to extort things from my future generations.
You're absolutely right, because today we've moved from a kinetic world into a data world. Everything works on the currency of data. And sometimes we don't even know what data is being generated. So for example, someone may have a Facebook profile, and based on the pictures and text messages and all that, Facebook may actually come up with a model and say, this person is like this, this is what it is, I should influence this person to become a terrorist. And there's a whole lot of debate about, you know, how your persona and everything is being changed to meet that radicalization. So yeah, we can control whatever we have to whatever the best ability we have, but there's a lot of data that's out of hand that we don't have. So for example, you may have visited a clinic that may still have a copy of your blood report. You may have visited a hospital for a procedure, which may have a different copy of your blood profile. They may say, okay, I want to do a DNS test on Prof to understand why she is very smart. And I want to create more people as smart as Prof. So that can happen because we only know what we know. So the typical picture of an iceberg is what I would use in this situation. We only know the data that we see up front. And personally, I didn't know my data was leaked. It's only when I actually scrolled back on my calendar, I realized, hey, I went to Thailand on this day, this day, this day. Oops, my data is here. And then I realized I made 3 trips. And in 2 of the trips, it was using my old passport. And 1 of the trips using my current passport. So which means now they have my old passport. They also have my current passport. And that's how scary it is.
Enjoying the show so far? Subscribe now so that you don't miss out on the latest episode. We are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many other platforms. Visit podcast.securitylaw.asia to get the links to subscribe.
What I like about this particular data leak or breach or misconfiguration that caused the leak, what I like about it is that we've been talking about breaches and leaks whereby citizen data is actually put out there on for sale or is compromised or is out there in the dark web. This particular data, however, is of foreign tourists. So Thailand, the incident happened because of Thailand. It happened in the country of Thailand via a private company, I think. Not sure about that. But it's not Thailand citizens' data which is out there. It's 106 million international travelers. Their data is exposed to the public internet. So to a hacker, is data like this, is information like this still useful? How would they manage it? How would they manage this kind of data, which is coming from different, it's about different individuals from different countries?
I think Sky put it out just now very eloquently about how data can be used, misused, abused. And it doesn't matter whether the data belongs to the citizens of the country or outside, because this will definitely affect tourism for Thailand, because there's going to be a level of trust deficit by the tourists. I mean, Thailand is still a tourist destination in Asia. They still have a sizable business on tourism. So yeah, so it's going to be an issue as to how the Thais and the government agencies and the authority of tourists is going to assure the visitors that their data is safe. I think that's the thing that they would have to start looking at. I know right now it's post-COVID, everybody wants to travel. And in fact, in Malaysia, they just opened up travel bubble to Thailand. I think Thailand opened up, not Malaysia. So we'll have to see if Malaysia says, okay, you can travel to Thailand.
I probably start with Langkawi first.
I want Penang, man.
Yeah, man.
No, Langkawi, I want Penang. Okay. I want Nasi Kandahar.
Food heaven.
Yeah. So the whole issue is, I think Thailand will probably lose some of the high-value visitors because they will be concerned. But the daily guys like you and me, I don't know. Maybe Doc is a high-value visitor. I don't know. But people like me, I think
doubt anyone wants to assassinate me unless the APT groups find my comments about them rather sarcastic and unpleasant. Then they might hire a head on my head. But I don't think so.
With all the things we are uncovering, I won't be surprised if they are targeting us.
Well, we are only sharing whatever that's public. There's TLP raid that we are sharing. There's no unconfirmed news or whatever. Yeah. If it is unconfirmed, we will actually tell you. It is unconfirmed. We don't know. Yeah. We're not sure. We are just commenting on the whole situation because we want to analyze the situation for the benefit of our listeners so that they get a better view of things. So that's what we do.
I need to check my passport afterwards. But what are the okay? Maybe the on the positive side, what would be our advice to our listeners? I mean, if we did travel to Thailand the last 10 years,
check when is your passport expiry date. Good change that. That's all I can say. I don't know what else to say. Or just wait until it expires and.
But really, I don't think that will help because your information will still be the same. Your name will be the same. Your IC number listed on the passport will be the same. Some of us will probably keep the same email address we filled up in the cards and our communication tool, which is our mobile phone. So those things are still the same. The only thing different with a new passport is the new passport number. Wouldn't it be?
They didn't keep your IC number because Thailand doesn't require your IC number. However,
our passport has
Singapore does. No, our passport has, but they don't keep it. The data that they collect from us is different from the passport. The passport is only used to verify, say, what's your face, whether you entered, because there are different systems
I remember they put the front page and they scan it into the system.
Yes, because that's the OCR bit, which reads the character off the page, does image validation against that particular page, because you notice there are some very funky graphics and all that you have to twist and turn for you to see it. So that validation happens at that point of time. So they actually validate. Make sure your password is legitimate and all that. And then they say, okay, fine, go ahead. Because there's also a visa registration system. The visa registration system is separate from your entry. So you can register, put in whatever details you want to put in, but it'll be checked against your passport. So obviously you're going to get the same data.
Yeah.
Would any of you stop going to Thailand because of this?
No. I want my fix of Tom Yum. I'm missing my tom yum. Please do not deny me of going to Thailand.
So would our advice be, as long as you have completed your vaccination, you can start planning?
I'm talking about our data, guys.
You have to forgive me for that, because I remember I changed my passport since my last visit to Thailand. So, you know, obviously I'm thinking of holiday and vacation.
Hey, Sky. I want to enjoy my tom yum. Please don't burden me with all this data and whatever not. And let me tell you, this is the thinking of an average user. Seriously. If you go, we go and talk to these people and say, hey, your data is late. Okay, so what can I do about it? I'm sorry, but I really don't know what else to say. But true, that is the fact, right?
Yeah.
There's really nothing much we could do about it. So we're just, you know, but we're bringing all this incident to light so that we feel that our listeners should know about it, understand what happened, understand why it happened. And hopefully one of the discussions may ring in your head at the right time and you would avoid doing something that may have costed your organization something really bad. Yeah. So we want to have this as an awareness for everyone who listens to us so that you know, okay, so this happened in Thailand, this happened in Indonesia, this happened in Malaysia, this happened in Singapore. We're bringing all these case studies for your benefit so that you learn and you become better with it.
So my last statement will probably be, you know, just like what Doc said just now, if you have not done it, create a two-factor authentication, you know, a secondary email for authentication, and even be very careful with scam calls, phishing emails, and unverified calls coming from people you don't know. So those will be the safeguards, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I have been receiving emails in one of my email address, but they are all in Thai. So I think I need to be more careful then.
Yeah, probably your passport's there.
I need Google Translate to help me understand.
Like, I'm sorry, I don't get your phishing. Can you put it in English?
English, please. Yeah.
Thank you. Should reply that email and say, sorry, I don't get this. If you can send it to me in English, I'll be sure to respond.
Yeah, and I'll forward the email to both of you. You
sure.
Can tear it apart.
I love to.
Yeah.
Okay, so we come to the end of this session. We hope you've benefited from this discussion. And I would like to say as closing remark, I'm quite amazed at how the Thai NCSA agency worked on this. And if you look at the lead time, it's like within days, it's closed. And it's not like 7 days or 10 days. It's like within 3 to 4 days, everything is clear. And you know, hats off. I mean, credit is where credit due. And I like to tip my hat to the Thai NCSA for doing such a wonderful job. And I hope the other CSAs around the region would also follow suit.
Well, like Doc says, credit due to whoever who is doing their work. I think the Singapore government has also done their bit for the region. And we hope that, you know, the other countries' certs will be able to do the same, starting with the first step making it a compulsory requirement for disclosure. That will help in improving our security posture as a country.
Awesome. I will rally behind that. Disclosure, yeah. Disclosure. We need IOCs. We need to know what's happening so that we can protect everyone in the country as one. You are not alone. If you are not sharing information, remember someone else is also not sharing information, and that may be the reason why you're getting attacked and you're suffering. So if everyone starts sharing information, the bad guys will lose.
Like I always say, the bad guys are working together, we are not. That's the problem.
Definitely. And if you see their TIs where they cross-share code, they cross-share infrastructure, so you know they are talking to each other. They're not working in an island. They are talking to each other. But sadly, like what you pointed out, we should have better forums, better communication channels so that we can manage these kind of issues in a much better way.
Thanks for joining us this week on Security Lab. Make sure to visit our website at securitylab.asia. where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show.